going down for real. Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Berea. And we come to you today from Browns headquarters on Cleveland Browns Daily. I'm Jim Donovan in for the vacationing. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm is back from vacation and is in for the week. And right now is in for the long haul.
Yes.
You're done, okay?
I am done.
You're here for this week, next week. It is, it's go time, and you can feel it around here. It is definitely go time. All of the training camp workers are around going over what their responsibilities are going to be. They are pristinely getting the fields. I was going to say the course, like we're getting St. Andrews ready.
Yes.
We can talk about that, but they're getting the fields ready to go here. And a week from Thursday, the doors will open, and the Browns will be on the field for day one of their training camp, open to the public.
It's an exciting time for every NFL franchise, especially here, because of what was accomplished. And I think what the taste in the Cleveland Browns fans' mouth at the end of last season, losing five in a row after you were so high on this football team at 7-4 with leading our division, a playoff opportunity, in our sights. Brian Hoyer leading this team week in, week out. You felt like you had a viable opportunity to compete, and that is something we haven't done in a long time around here. So we have made additions, and as during this week off, I was asked an awful lot about the Cleveland Browns.
I bet you were. Yeah,
I was.
I bet you were.
Just being out in the public and here in the staycation, didn't leave town. But people asking about the Browns, and I said they've gotten better, you know, through the draft and free agency. But if you look at the division as a whole, so has everyone else.
Yeah. And then you have to say that clause in every sentence, but, we don't know if we have the quarterback.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's the thing. And that's a topic I want to touch upon today on the show. And we want to hear from you on the show today. Are you excited about training camp? Are you excited about what they have done in the offseason? And why is it on our Ohio Business Machine's Hot Topics? I listened to the show last week, and we continued on the show. Nathan with the guys was doing a number of previews. And I have to tell you, almost to a man, every correspondent that he talked to on the show in talking about their team said, but we don't know if we have our quarterback.
Right.
I mean, St. Louis, we don't know if we have our quarterback. Arizona, we don't know if Carson Palmer's going to be ready,
sure. And
we don't know if we have anything behind him. And it is amazing how many teams in the NFL, I know that we can take it internally here and take it personally and say, why can't we find the quarterback here?
Right.
But I'm telling you, folks, in a lot of locales out there in the NFL, they are saying the same things. Why is there such a shortage in quarterbacks NFL-ready coming into the league, obviously. That's the problem. We don't even know if the two at the top of this past draft who are scheduled to start, Winston and Mariota, if they're NFL ready.
That's correct. And I think when you look at the NFL over the past few years, on those same organizations that don't seem to have the guy, the teams that get it figured out with a quarterback, it's not necessarily their franchise quarterback, but it's a guy that has a good year.
Right.
When they have a good defense and quality players around him, you see like an Arizona Cardinals team make the playoffs.
Yes.
Yes, they're well coached. Bruce Arians does an amazing job since he's been hired out there. But Carson Palmer played well.
Mm-hmm.
They survived with his injury, but they got a really good defense and they had skilled players around him.
And then when he was out, they could not compete in the playoffs.
Exactly.
I mean, they took a flyer with
you
whoever
overcome.
The heck was left.
Significant drop off.
Could not overcome that.
Right.
But I mean, really, Matt, and I'm wondering what level has it started at? Is it at the high school level, where we are not developing quarterbacks there? Does it then go into the college level? And there was some indications this year that if you were a quarterback that came out of a real spread offense in college, NFL teams went, I don't know,
right.
That's too much of a gamble.
Yeah.
I mean, all of those guys, the kid Bryce Petty, all of those guys fell down in the draft significantly. I mean, way back in the draft. And a lot of people think it was an indictment on the spread offense that has just gone wild in college football. And I even think now it goes back in high school.
Absolutely.
You're putting athletes.
Everybody.
At that position.
It is so prevalent in high school that it's hard to find a team that runs the true eye and the hard-nosed football.
Right.
You know, with the heavy, the 250-pound plus linemen
right.
that want to grind you out. Everybody
yep.
wants to spread you out
yep.
and use it to your advantage. And I think a lot of that has to do with how easy it is to teach the quarterback position, because you're told where to go with the football. So you're hindering the development of that quarterback by playing in a spread, as we found out with Johnny Manziel, not really knowing how to turn a protection
yes.
or only running one or two protections, never having to identify a defense at the line of scrimmage, and just going out there and kind of playing basketball on grass like we saw with the St. Louis Rams back in the day.
So, I mean, it is very, very rare that an Andrew Luck
yeah.
is out there now. It's the first thing you hear every year when we really sink our teeth into the draft, and people will say, well, the quarterback class, let me tell you, there's no Andrew Luck there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nobody out there like him. But, I mean, you think about in the past, way back now, you know, way, way back probably. I mean, when the NFL, when you would get ready for the draft, there were 10 quarterbacks
yes.
that would be in the draft, and maybe seven of them really become functioning quarterbacks, and a couple become great quarterbacks.
Three or four of them are locks to be drafted yeah. in the first round, and yeah. then and a handful in the second. And dwindling
so
on.
Where do you think that it is the position has become such a disconnect between the college level and then coming into the NFL and really being able to play?
I think a lot
not
of it,
being forced to play,
sure.
but being ready to play.
I think a lot of it has to do with the evolution of defense. So many things in today's world, it's you can get away with something before you find a way to catch that person. It's like hackers, you know. You can create a way to hack into a system, and then you finally catch up to catch that hacker. Or in this case, even if you look at the players with drugs, they'll try a performance-enhancing drug that they know that can't be tested yet, but eventually they find a way to test for it, and then you're on to the next thing. Well, when it came to this spread offense, I feel like the spread was created, it flourished, and now defenses are putting a wraps on how to contain it and stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned, you're giving that quarterback troubles because you're hindering his development of how to truly understand a defense and understand how to control your offense, because you're coached. And just to reference one quick story that I have, I remember playing Northwestern at night in, I believe, 2000 at Ohio State in the Horseshoe.
Mm-hmm.
And Northwestern was one of the first programs to kind of evolve into that spread offense where they would line up.
Right.
They would clap hands, and everybody looked. All the skill positions would look to the sidelines, and the coaches from the booth
make the call.
Would then make the call, yeah. stick with the play, change the play. And I thought, I was not only playing the players on the field, but now I'm playing against the coaches in the box
right.
too, and you have to beat them, which we did.
Right.
But the defense is eventually caught up on how to slow it down enough and make an impact and grind those teams out.
So at Ohio State, they have three quarterbacks. Okay, and when you and I were last here, they had all three had been announced as Maxwell
yes.
Award candidates coming into the year. So they have three terrific, intriguing talents at quarterback, all different in their own way. Okay, are any of them, do you think, ready to come into the NFL and play? You know, having played now in the Ohio State offense,
sure.
Are they ready to come into the NFL and conform to a pro offense?
Going least ready
yeah.
to most ready. Braxton Miller would be least ready because he is the true slasher, run first, dart throwing passer.
Right.
Meaning like he doesn't throw people open, he throws to open receivers.
Right.
I would say JT Barrett, after 1 year of starting, is probably second, but might have the most upside.
Okay.
Because of how accurate, controlled, diligent, hardworking he is as a player and I already said controlled. But I think a lot of the reason why Gerard Cherry and Tony Grossi are, you know, foaming at the mouth over Cardale Jones of what he did in those three games, because you want big, you want physical, you want big arm, and able to play when the light shine brightest. And we saw that out of Cardale.
Now, when I see Tony Grossi out in public now, he wears Cardale Jones's jersey. And he has all the versions of it, okay?
The 12-gauge T-shirt?
He's got the red one. He's got the scarlet one. He's got the white one. He's even got the, you know,
the
alternate jersey that he wears. He is constantly. I mean, the back of his jersey never says Grossi. It always says C. Jones. But I think it's an interesting point. It struck me when I listened to the show last week that almost every team that we previewed on Cleveland Browns Daily last week, St. Louis, Arizona, you know, Denver different because of Peyton Manning. But, I mean, other teams, and even when we were here, I don't know about our quarterback. I don't know about our quarterback. And, of course, we don't know about our quarterback here. And I just keep saying to myself, I remember a time where everybody had a quarterback.
I remember those days,
too. Had a quarterback.
And that's where the optimism that I have about this Browns team and going into this season and playing this very tumultuous schedule is many of those teams that were good last year overcame a lot to be good. They've got to now do that again. And now that target is a little bit bigger, I think we can fly under the radar, you know, with head coach Mike Pettine, with Josh McCown. And I believe that the players on this team that played well last year will do it again. And we've evolved that roster and added competition, added the right guys to add attitude in this locker room as well.
I mean, I thought Brady Quinn was going to be a terrific NFL quarterback.
Pro ready. Pro style offense.
You know, and he had Charlie Weiss with him for his last few years at Notre Dame. I thought, wow, he is ready to go. So I was excited when Phil Savage.
I was playing when he was in the league. What was the disconnect with him?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I remember when he came here, and Browns fans, you know, correct me if I'm wrong by dialing us up at 216-578-0850, but I do remember that he held out, but I don't think it was of his own volition that he held out for 1 week. I think it was really the Browns Phil Savage stalled his contract talks at the time, so he lost that first week. Okay, he came into training camp after that because he wanted to get a deal done.
Sure.
You know, he felt, I can beat out Charlie
Fry.
I can beat Charlie Fry, and I don't know enough about Derek Anderson that I don't, you know, that I'm going to shy away from that. He came in, and I have to tell you, Matt, by the third preseason game, they went out to Denver, and he came in second half, and Fry won the job and was named the starting quarterback. And there was no question Brady Quinn was head and shoulders in every time that he played in the preseason, and certainly out in Denver that night, that you just said, okay, all right, we're going to play Charlie Fry. But, I mean, he's head and shoulders, you know, Brady Quinn is head and shoulders above this, but they didn't want to force him into the lineup. ESPN that night led SportsCenter with all of his highlights in the Denver game because he was Brady Quinn, the former Notre Dame quarterback. Well, then Derek Anderson got hot after Fry bombed out in the first quarter of the opening game against Pittsburgh, and Brady Quinn only got in one series in the last game of the regular season against San Francisco. Derek whacked his thumb against a helmet. He went into the Browns locker room. The crowd went crazy when Quinn came out, and the Browns were still very much in a playoff chase at that point, and he took the team right down the field. The Browns dropped a couple of passes that would have given them a score, and Derek Anderson, in a game the Browns well had under control, came racing out of the locker room to get back in there because he didn't want to see this tidal wave overtake him.
Sure.
After that, then, the Browns gave Anderson a very big contract.
Yep.
He kind of played himself out of that. And then when Quinn got in there, it just did not
never
work.
Clicked.
It did not click.
And do you I know you've been adamant about this before when we've been together on the show, is you felt that him missing that first week in some cases really had him hindered his development as a quarterback by being there, being present, taking those reps.
I did think so.
And really kind of throwing his name in that hat.
Yeah, because I don't think they wanted him to start at that point in time. And I think that they realize if we bring Brady Quinn in, and I don't know if you remember this because, as you said, you were playing in a different location. But when Brady was drafted here and they went down and got him, there were the pictures of when he was a little boy and he had the Browns uniform on, the Bernie Kosar jersey and the orange helmet on, and he always wanted to play for the Browns. I mean, it was the stuff movies are made of.
Yes.
I mean, it was Rudy too. Yeah. You know, I mean, it really was. And I think that they realized, like we realized last year, the storm of Johnny Manziel, what was going to build up here in training camp, and how would Brian Hoyer handle that?
Yeah.
I think Phil Savage said, I'm going to diffuse this a little bit
and
stall this.
It makes sense.
Yeah, it didn't work
out.
I have to tell you, but by the time the third preseason game came, he was clearly the best performer on the field at quarterback, but they went with Fry.
And he very likely was the third stringer.
He was, he definitely was. Yeah, Anderson was the number two guy, and Brady was number three. Yeah, no doubt about it. And then they traded Charlie Fry
right
after the opening game. He went out to Seattle. Anderson went in, and Quinn was the backup. So, but I mean, you know, I really thought Brady Quinn was going to be a terrific quarterback in the NFL.
I did too.
Now he's a terrific analyst on Fox. Yeah.
He is.
I want to bring up another topic, and all weekend long, ESPN, one of the ESPN networks, was running big college games from last year. So they played like three Florida State games in a row. And I have to tell you, I had a smile from ear to ear watching Cam Irving play.
Yeah.
He was amazing. and I was focused in on it. So I saw him play against Clemson, against Georgia Tech in the ACC championship game, and the game against Notre Dame when they both went in undefeated. And he was phenomenal.
Good.
At center.
Good. Do you have an inkling that we got it right in the draft then?
So my point to you is he's got to play. There's no way to. If he's healthy. Now you and Nathan were much more on top of this than I was, being where you sit daily here. But, I mean, he was off a little bit in the minicamp, but that – he will be here and ready to go next week.
He will be here ready to go next week to compete and to start. And, Jim, as we had Jim O'Neill sit right here in the Dog Bowl a few months back,
yes,
prior to the draft, he referenced, he goes, I don't care if we use any draft pick on the defensive side of the ball. He goes, but the one thing that I know about these first three picks, those 12, 19 in our first round and our second round pick was – those three guys have to come in and start or contribute in a major way for this football
team.
Now,
you know, that's been my other ballyhoo, that I'm tired of seeing our first-round picks not play.
Yes.
Now, I understand the Manziel thing, but Gilbert was a disappointment. He should have been able to get out
Mingo's
on the field.
Mingo's in question.
Mingo's been a question mark, but he got hurt
in
that rookie year, and he missed the entire training camp after the first preseason game. So there were a lot of things going on there. And I have to tell you, though, Cam Irving was unbelievable.
Good. I love it.
And they, let me tell you, folks, they did not run left or right. They just ran right over him, right up the middle.
Wherever he was at.
He just looks like a terrific team guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he runs in there. He helps the running back up. I mean,
he
cools somebody off. Another offensive lineman got upset when a flag was thrown on him. He went over there, calmed him down. I mean, calming Jameis Winston down was a full-time job.
Absolutely.
And he did that, too. He just looked terrific. So if anybody else saw that, but I was focused in on him for three games, and he was magnificent.
Finally,
he was magnificent.
Let's hope we got it right.
Okay, but that now anticipate this. He will right guard, right?
Yes.
He will go to right guard.
Yeah, that's the only spot that I could see him start at right out of the gates.
All right, and my other point to you today is I know it's cliche-ish to say you got to get off to a good start, but I really believe the Browns must get off to a good start.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the Jets game and then the two games here. Right after that, I have to tell you, they really need to, I mean, I'm going to say they need to come out of that 2-1.
I've called my shot, Jim.
What have you said?
And I said 3-0, heading west.
Yeah, I didn't want to.
I'll be that guy. Put it on me.
Going out to San Diego,
yes.
You're saying we go out
3-0.
3-0.
We should.
Because I have to tell you something.
We should be.
If you stub your toe a couple of times in this thing, that schedule after that becomes murder.
It does.
And that point in time where you get the three games at home, those are three beasts. I mean, it's like Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, you know. I mean, you're
Baltimore Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, you are in a war, okay? So you got to get your wins early here and get your confidence, as you say, kind of go under the radar a little bit because, you know, you're not going to get a lot of oompah if you beat Tennessee here, right?
Right. And one other point that I made.
I don't know how to spell that last
thing. We get the Jets without Sheldon Richardson,
right,
you know, on a suspension. And then we're going to go out west without Antonio Gates serving his fourth game of his suspension as well. So there is an opportunity.
Okay. Those are some of the topics that we are talking about. We're going to talk with Jeff Hobson from Bengals.com. And we'll talk about the Bengals. And we'll talk. I want to ask him about this booing of Andy Dalton at the All-Star Game festivities in a softball game. I mean, let me tell you something. This guy's like 43-20. And one, 43-20-1, something in his regular season. I know he's 0-4 in the playoffs, but they're booing him down there, and that's amazing. And we'll talk about the Bengals and what they're going to be. I assume they think they're going to be very, very good. We'll do all of that when we come back. We'd love to talk to you at 216-578-0850. Jim Donovan, Matt Wilhelm with you on the Monday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.